You're recording.
All right, thank you. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Kathleen Slocum in case number 2253. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Slocum, you've already come forward with your counsel, all right. Please introduce yourself.
Kathleen Slocum.
And Reed Campbell on behalf of Dr. Slocum.
All right, thank you. Dr. Slocum, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer the matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you'd like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Okay, thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to the matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. And this is for Dr. Thompson. Can you please give us a brief summary?
Sure. On November 17, 2021, Minnie, a five-year-old female French bulldog, was presented to respondent for a spay and cyst removal. The surgery was performed. The dog was slow to recover and lethargic. Abdominal aspiration revealed sanguineous fluid, therefore respondent was forced to stop abdomen. Hemoabdomen was noted, but the source of bleeding could not be identified. The dog recovered slowly. Later that evening, the dog was discharged to complainant. Respondent stated that complainant was encouraged to seek follow-up care at a full-service veterinarian. Later that evening, the dog was taken to an emergency facility where a bleeding disorder was identified. While stabilizing the dog arrested and passed away.
All right, thank you. Dr. Slocum, at this time I would like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right. Dr. Slocum, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Okay. As I said, I'm Kathleen Slocum. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. And first and foremost, I would like to extend my sympathies here about the passing of Minnie. She was a five-year-old French bulldog presented on November 17, 2021 for a spay and cyst removal. It appeared that she had an underlying clotting disorder that was ultimately resulted in post-op complications and her untimely death. As just a background for the clinic is a customized mobile veterinary unit with the same surgical equipment and support staff as a fixed veterinary hospital. The staff consists of myself and five technicians. We conduct 25 to 30 surgical procedures per day, including spay neuters, dentals, amputations, and other routine soft tissue surgeries. Over my 34-year career, I have completed over 100,000 surgical procedures, the majority of which have been spay neuters. The mobile focuses on high-quality, low-cost surgical services. The trained staff assists in client communication, intake, and discharge. Jen Kenny, a veterinary technician for over 20 years, schedules the surgeries and answers the standard preoperative questions. I am always available on intake to discuss any issues or concerns with the owner. I've worked with Jen for the past 6 years, and she is trained to advise every owner that preoperative lab work is always advised, especially in older patients. Minnie's owner declined the recommended lab work, a copy of which is in her medical record. Minnie's spay was routine and uneventful, and recovery was closely monitored. Myself and my staff are especially cognizant of recovery of brachycephalic breeds, such as Minnie. Her recovery was slower than normal, and her mucous membranes were light pink, so I performed an abdominal tap, which revealed bloody fluid. I immediately returned Minnie to surgery. Blood with small clots was found and removed. All of the double ligatures were intact, and a third ligature was placed on all pads. No further bleeding was observed. The investigative committee inquired as to why I did not contact Minnie's owner before reopening the abdomen. As time was of the essence with internal bleeding, I felt the most important course of action was to explore her immediately. I did not feel I was expanding the scope of surgery beyond what Minnie's owner had already authorized and felt it was in Minnie's best interest to proceed directly to surgery. Also, the surgical consent, which was signed by the owner, states, I understand that it may be necessary to provide medical and or surgical procedures which are not anticipated for the safety and care of my pet. I hereby consent to and authorize the performance of such altered and or additional procedures as are deemed necessary by the attending veterinarian. Minnie responded well. Post her second surgery, at discharge, her mucous membranes were pink, her TPR had remained within normal limits throughout the day, and her incision looked good. She was quiet, but what I expected after two abdominal surgeries and after receiving narcotics to address her pain. Given these observations, I did not think Minnie needed to go immediately to an emergency clinic. Jen went over the discharge instructions, including after hours emergency care if needed. Jen kept in touch with the owner over the next several hours. Jen and I also kept in touch via text and phone, and Jen recommended per consultation with me that Minnie go to an emergency facility. Scottsdale Vet Clinic contacted us approximately 8:30 p.m. that Minnie was in their care and our records were emailed to them. When I received notification that Minnie had passed away, my office sent our condolences. I'm very, very saddened by this case, but submit that Minnie's postoperative complications were not the result of any violations of the Veterinary Practice Act. I further submit that my communications with the owner were appropriate given Minnie's condition at the time of discharge. I respectfully request the board dismiss this matter with no violations. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. So we'll start with Dr. Thompson if you have any questions.
Yes, thank you for your summary. I just had a couple of questions. So you did mention that you're available to clients on intake to answer any questions that they have. On discharge, are you available for them as well?
I was available. I was in surgery with another patient at that time.
Okay, so you did not have any sort of communication with the client either before the second surgery nor after the second surgery, is that correct?
Not only in text form.
Only in text form. You didn't call and kind of explain what had happened in the surgery, what you found when you went back in the second time?
It was communicated via texts.
Okay.
From our clinic phone.
Okay. From you or from your technician?
I was from the technician via what I was telling her to say.
And what time approximately was she discharged after the second surgery?
Around 4 p.m.
Around 4.
And so I believe that the owner said she picked her up at 3:20.
Okay.
So somewhere in between 3:20 and 4.
And you felt that after you had gone in on the second surgery and didn't see any bleeding, that there wasn't a need to go to the emergency hospital for additional monitoring, even though she had lost some blood?
Yes, because since her vitals were normal, her incision looked good, her mucous membranes were pink.
Is that kind of normal protocol? Do you generally send pets home if that should happen? I mean, I know things happen all the time, right? So we sometimes have to go back in and reassess.
Right.
Is that generally your standard protocol is to send them home for the evening?
If they're stable and they look good and the vitals are, certainly if they weren't, I would to an emergency clinic immediately.
And you said Jen has been with you for quite
six
a few years.
Yes.
And so all of the communications in the evening, once the owner was having difficulties, were then going kind of the telephone game, right? Through the
yes.
owner to Jen to you and then back again.
Yes.
Okay. And at that time you did not have any direct communication with the owner.
Yes.
Thank you. Have any other questions?
Just have one question. The mucous membranes were such that you felt that there needed to be an abdominal tap?
They were lighter pink than her initial exam, and that's why I did. I couldn't feel a fluid wave.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to be sure.
Okay. And you recovered a little bit of bloody fluid?
Yes.
You said at that point in time?
Yes.
So, what do you think? What do you think happened?
I believe, based on what the records that I had seen from the emergency clinic that it was an underlying clotting disorder.
And maybe some of that bleeding was since the ties were all fine and,
yes,
and that type of thing.
That's my feeling. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else have any other additional questions right now? Okay. So we don't have a complainant here today. So we don't have to worry about that part. Usually we give you a chance to respond after the complainant says anything. So do you have any additional comments or questions?
Remarks? I would just make a quick closing statement. As I mentioned, my name is Reed Campbell. I represent Dr. Slocum. I submit the board should dismiss this with no violations. While the outcome for Minnie was tragic and unfortunate, it wasn't the result of a violation of the Practice Act. The investigative committee highlighted two areas of concern for you to consider. I'd like to briefly address both of them. The first, the concern was that Dr. Slocum did not contact the owner after the abdominal tap before she returned Minnie to the operating table. As Dr. Slocum has explained, that time was of the essence, and so she wanted to get immediately into the abdomen to see what was going on. She wasn't expanding the scope of surgery. It was still a spay procedure, and the complainant, Ms. Nichols, had also been advised in writing that there may be a need to do an exigent procedure, and she had signed off on that before she dropped the dog off. The investigative committee also questioned why Dr. Slocum's staff was communicating with the complainant after the procedure. And I think that the board should consider the unique nature of Dr. Slocum's practice. This is a mobile surgical center, and in an effort to provide lower cost to some communities that typically can't afford full service veterinary surgical procedure, they group these procedures together. And so it's really a team effort. So unless there is an exigent need for Dr. Slocum to speak with someone, she relies on her trained staff, who's been, as she said, doing this for 20 plus years, 6 years with her, to explain what happened, address any questions. And then if there is that need for additional follow-up, it could be addressed at that time. Given that by the time she was checked out of Dr. Slocum's care, she had returned to normal and her vital signs had returned. There was no evidence that she needed exigent care. I believe the communications were appropriate at that time. It's unfortunate that later on in the day that condition changed, but Dr. Slocum's staff stayed in touch with Ms. Nichols during that window and was able to quickly relay advice on when and where to seek additional emergency care. With respect to the procedure, it went smoothly, except for the unexplained presence of this blood. As Dr. Slocum explained, it was likely because of an undiagnosed clotting disorder. These things can happen. This spay procedure is not risk-free. And while it's unfortunate that the results, ultimately, that this dog passed away, I do not see it as a result of the violation of the Arizona Veterinary State Practice Act. I therefore request that you dismiss this matter with no violations. I understand the board may disagree regarding the communication, especially postoperatively. If that is the case, I would submit that a letter of concern would be an appropriate a remedy as opposed to a violation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does any board members have any additional questions? Okay. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. So Dr. Thompson, you are lead, so we'll start off with you.
Yeah, so in taking all the information, and you know, it would have been nice to hear some from the complainant on this as well, as far as the communication on when it was the recommendation to go to the emergency hospital, how is that relayed? And it says in the investigative report that the complainant opted to wait, so, you know, it's kind of turns into that she said, she said on that piece. I would like to agree with the recommendation of the investigative committee on the first portion on communication, the ARS 32-2232-12. As it relates to R3-11-5011, failure to show respect to the animal owner by not calling the owner and discussing the case with them post. While I can totally understand the situation and being in a high volume situation, a mobile, but at the end of the day, when you've had a case that was definitely far outside the realm of routine, I think it's our responsibility to communicate with the owner and discuss the possible causes for what had happened and to check in on that patient and to go over that with the owner. As far as the second motion, I would opt to dismiss that piece of it. It does sound as though there was recommendations to go to the full service the next day based on the clinical signs of the pet at that time, and then with further communication it sounds as though there were recommendations to go to the emergency clinic. So I think that piece was relayed.
I would say in the communication part of it, except that time may have been of the essence to go back in there. And we're relaying information all through this case through the technical staff. Why didn't we direct somebody to make that call? We've gone back in and I think an owner deserves that communication through the staff, and which wouldn't impede the doctor from doing what she felt was necessary. And then the other thing is she was concerned enough to go back in, but not enough to make the determination immediately to go to the emergency room. And I'm not sure that quite, if you're concerned enough by the appearance of a dog, and she said she didn't appreciate any abdominal distension or fluid wave or anything like that, so she was pretty much going on the gum color. We see pale gums post-surgery a lot, and yeah, we look at it, we watch it. Yeah, that could be a problem. But I'm not sure we always jump back in there. And so if she was concerned enough to do that, I think there would have been enough concern, especially when she found out it wasn't her surgical technique, that was all fine. Now, what made me so worried about going back in there? And does that deserve some immediate monitoring of this pet somewhere else?
It sounds like, she was darned if she did and darned if she didn't at this point. The blood work was declined. She didn't have permission to do blood work. She went back in when she thought there was an issue. There was no issue. Then the dog's gum color returned back to what they considered normal. We have photos of that. There was communication the whole way through. And maybe it wasn't her specifically, but everything that was communicated isn't disputed by her or by the owner. Just the owner's like, why didn't I talk to her? There was no different information that was like passed. It wasn't like a technician or whoever this den person is, it wasn't like she said something completely rogue that was what the doctor wanted. So I'm just really not sure how she could have really done anything different. It sucks. This case sucks, but it wasn't her surgical procedure. Clearly there was a bleeding disorder that she wasn't even able to diagnose because she wasn't given permission to do blood work. So if she would have had a magic wand or a crystal ball, that could have turned out totally different. But I don't even understand where there's a violation at this point. It just seems like it was a crappy case.
Well, this kind of centers around, I'd say, probably 80-90% of the cases we have is just communication.
But there wasn't a lack of communication. They just didn't.
There's a lack of communication from the client's aspect, and that's the question.
But it wasn't from the client's aspect. It was that she didn't like that she heard from somebody different than the doctor, but it wasn't that the wrong information was provided.
But a complaint was lodged because the client was not happy with how this was handled around, and that's when it's up to us to find out.
The client wasn't happy that the pet passed. If the pet hadn't passed,
this whole turnout, this whole issue turned out. But at that point, then it's up to us to start delving through and seeing what's going on. And when you have a case that you have to go in a second time and you don't even ever bother to contact the client. That's an issue to me.
No, it was a case that she felt she needed to go in the second time because even Dr. Nosley just said she didn't need to go back in the second time.
But you still didn't contact the client directly and talk to him?
But they did contact the client.
She didn't. The license holder.
She did.
The license holder delegated. And that was that. There are certain things we can delegate, and we have to take the responsibility for that delegation.
Exactly. She took the responsibility for the delegation. She's not saying she didn't delegate.
Hold on. If we would have talked to this client directly, my guess is we probably wouldn't be here.
That's why
most of them are.
I don't believe that.
Most of them are like that because you direct and you talk. But, yeah, I mean, and that's where the motion's going to come in and voting comes in. But, yeah, I mean, in these issues, I think most of these cases can be solved by communication. Was there a bleeding disorder? Was this the fault of the doctor? No, we can't prove that. Can't say no, and I wouldn't think that. But a simple conversation, would that have solved this? Possibly. And the fact that the license holder did not pick up the phone, did not try and contact the client at all, that's a concern for me. So, but the medicine itself, I mean, I think that was all handled properly.
Just for clarification, when did the owner find out that the second surgery was necessary?
It was texted to her.
Texted to her.
During.
Thank you.
When we went back in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just don't think that was courteous interchange, and that's the standard.
I mean, I think there were things certainly that communication-wise that we all learn from some of these cases over and over again. Had she picked up the phone, we probably wouldn't be here. Maybe. Maybe not.
Always
maybe.
Still be here. The pet was still passed away.
But we wouldn't have had this conversation either.
But this wouldn't have been a factor. And maybe the owner would have gotten more questions answered that wouldn't have ended us up in this room. But regardless, we're here. And the question is whether the communication met the standard of care or not. And there was communication. I mean, to Nikki's point, that there was communication going back and forth. And if they had additional questions, I think she would have gotten on the phone, maybe. I mean, I'm assuming. So, to me, I'm like, if there had not been any communication, I would have said, okay, now we have a problem. I think there was communication. Whether it was right or not, in hindsight, we're all going to say, no, I wish it had been more, so she wouldn't have ended up here. But. Maybe a letter of concern on just ensuring that we're communicating well, especially in situations where things aren't going as planned, right? That's when it becomes more important than any other time. I don't know that I would go to a violent.
I know. We also
have to have consideration, though. I mean, yeah, spay neuter clinics are busy. Spay neuter clinics, they have a lot of stuff going through them, but that doesn't mean they're beholden to different laws. There is not a separate section in our statutes for high-volume spay-neuter clinics and regular day practice clinics. I charge $1,200 for this spay, or you charge $85 for this spay. We're following the same standards and the same laws. Right. So I don't accept that, oh, it's too busy to contact the owner.
No, that was
a testimony. Okay. And if it's too busy to contact the owner, then we need to back off on the business because now we're putting things at risk, in my opinion, because you have to still be holding to the same statutes as everybody else.
Yes, if no communication would have happened. Yeah. I don't think there's a statute that says your communication with the owner can't be through a technician.
I know, that's where I'm struggling here. Do I think she should have too? Absolutely.
A veterinarian shall show respect for the veterinarian's colleagues, the owner, the animal, all that.
So it's not your staff. You're in surgery and you're like, tell them this, and then the technician's relaying that. I don't think that's disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful if you don't call at all. And I think it's disrespectful if the owner had questions that she couldn't have called them back later or something, but that's not what happened. I feel like the communication could have been better, and that's where we always get into a letter of concern. But I don't necessarily, I'm not saying because it's a spay neuter clinic or not a spay neuter clinic, even if it had been a private practice, I'd be saying the same thing.
I'd be expecting the doctor to talk to a client over especially the animal complication in that regard. And that ultimately leads to death. Communication, that's the thing is, this wasn't a hangnail that just, got slightly infected and now we have to do some antibiotics. This animal died.
It's appropriate to relay information.
Yeah, I mean, my technicians relay a lot of stuff.
Now, whether that's part of our statutes.
I know, and that's where I'm getting back to.
I don't know, but I think it's best practice.
Relay, normal blood work. That's great, But
We've talked and we've discussed a lot, so I guess it's time for probably a motion.
So I already put a motion. Nobody said
I didn't hear that part. Yes. Oh, that's right. You did say that. Yes. So there's a motion?
Say the motion again.
Yeah, say it's try one more time.
Come on, that was very long. So essentially, I would agree with the ARS 32-22-3212 as it relates to R3-11511, failure to show respect to the animal owner by not calling the pet owner, and not directly communicating to the pet owner after discharge when the pet owner was expressing concern for the dog's condition. And then not in denying the motion of the 32-22-3212 as relates to R3-11513, failure to refer the dog immediately.
And as I recall, you added a comment because it was the owner who chose to delay going to the 24th, to the emergency.
Well, it was based on what the doctor's observations were of the pet at the point in time of discharge.
So I'll second if nobody else will. All right, so we have a motion and a second, and we're going to do a roll call vote on this.
Okay. Ms. Krager?
Nay.
Ms. Ross?
Nay.
Dr. James?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thomas?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
I got 4-3 nay.
The motion fails. So anybody else?
I'll make a motion that we find no violations of our Practice Act or rules, but issue a letter of concern regarding the communication with this client and ensuring that when things are not going as planned, that the owner is very aware and has the opportunity to ask questions to a veterinarian, because I think that will prevent us from having situations like this in the future.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Probably do a roll call on that one too.
Okay. Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Nay.
Motion passes.
All right. The board has voted to dismiss this with a letter of concern. This concludes the matter, basically, then, right? So there's no option for that one. This concludes the matter, and Dr. Slocum, you will receive a written confirmation of the board's action shortly.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, please contact the board staff, the executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board office, and we have now concluded this. Thank you.